Good morning. Welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I am Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It's day 594. We're back again today in 2 Chronicles. We saw Jehoshaphat, who was a pretty good king overall. And now we're going to see his son, Jehoram. Remember what I pointed out was the most foolish thing that Jehoshaphat did during his reign? It was entering into that marriage alliance with King Ahab, knowing that Ahab and Jezebel were idolatrous, unfaithful rulers. He entered into a marriage alliance with Ahab and then went to battle with Ahab up against the Syrians, even though the prophet told him directly not to. Well, today, in chapter 21, we're going to see his son Jehoram take over the throne in Israel, in Judah, rather, in Jerusalem. And we're going to see further consequences from that very bad decision, that very unfaithful and unwise decision that Jehoshaphat made with that marriage alliance. Let's pray and ask the Lord's help. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. Thank you for loving us enough to speak truth to us. Help us to hear what you would have for us to learn from this chapter today, as we look at a very sobering and very troubling chapter in the history of your people. We pray that you would be our teacher through this. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Chronicles 21. Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, and Jehoram his son reigned in his place. He had brothers, the sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah, Jehiel, Zechariah, Azariah, Michael, and Shephatiah. All these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. Their father gave them great gifts of silver, gold, and valuable possessions, together with fortified cities in Judah. But he gave the kingdom to Jehoram because he was the firstborn. When Jehoram had ascended the throne of his father and was established, he killed all his brothers with the sword, and also some of the princes of Israel. Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem, and he walked in the way of the kings of Israel as the house of Ahab had done. For the daughter of Ahab was his wife. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Yet the Lord was not willing to destroy the house of David because of the covenant that he made with David, and since he had promised to give a lamp to him and to his sons forever. In his days, Edom revolted from the rule of Judah and set up a king of their own. Then Jehoram passed over with his commanders and all his chariots, and he rose by night and struck the Edomites who had surrounded him and his chariot commanders. So Edom revolted from the rule of Judah to this day. At that time, Libnah also revolted from his rule because he had forsaken the Lord, the God of his fathers. Moreover, he made high places in the hill country of Judah and led the inhabitants of Jerusalem into whoredom and made Judah go astray. And a letter came to him from Elijah the prophet, saying, "Thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, because you have not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat, your father, or in the ways of Asa, king of Judah, but have walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and have incited Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem into whoredom, as the house of Ahab led Israel into whoredom, and you also have killed your brothers of your father's house, who were better than you, behold, the Lord will bring a great plague on your people, your children, your wives, and all your possessions, and you yourself will have a severe sickness with a disease of your bowels, until your bowels come out because of the disease day by day." And the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the anger of the Philistines and of the Arabians who are near the Ethiopians. And they came up against Judah and invaded it and carried away all the possessions they found that belonged to the king's house, and also his sons and his wives, so that no son was left to him except Jehoahaz, his youngest son. And after all this, the Lord struck him in his bowels with an incurable disease. In the course of time, at the end of 2 years, his bowels came out because of the disease, and he died in great agony. His people made no fire in his honor, like the fires made for his fathers. He was 32 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem, and he departed with no one's regret. They buried him in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. Second Chronicles 21, I tell you, consequences. So first, Jehoshaphat enters into a marriage alliance with the house of Ahab, and so he gives his son, Jehoram, the firstborn, to the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. That was foolish. That alone was just a bad idea. Now, when Ahab and Jezebel's daughter was marrying the firstborn son of Jehoshaphat, in their mind, she's marrying the heir. And so Jehoshaphat keeps that. Maybe he felt like it was an obligation that he owed. Maybe it was just because of tradition. But it should have been clear to him, after the whole Ramoth-Gilead battle and going against the word of the prophet and the way that the Lord corrected him, and he received that correction, and he lived better after that, sort of learned his lesson, sort of. There was the later expedition that he made with the king of Israel that was also cursed by God. So here he had to have known that Jehoram was not a believer. I mean, he's 32 years old when he takes the throne. He's not a kid. He's not a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old, and you kind of wonder how is he going to turn out, or even an 18-year-old or 20. He's 32 years old. He's a man, and his father had to know that he was not really someone who would honor Yahweh. Elijah's letter that comes says that all of his brothers were better than him. So he was the firstborn, but he had 6 younger brothers who were not from this part of this marriage alliance. They were not given in marriage to someone from the house of Ahab. And so Jehoshaphat takes his first mistake of entering into a marriage alliance in the first place, and he follows it up with his second mistake of giving the kingdom. He gives gold and silver and valuable possessions and fortified cities to his 6 other sons, but he gives the kingdom to Jehoram. And I'm sure Jehoshaphat had no idea when he did that. He had to have known that his son Jehoram was not a believer and was not an honorable man, and he probably knew that the younger brothers were more honorable than their older brother, but I'm sure he had no idea that when he gave the kingdom to Jehoram, it was going to mean the death of his other sons. He would not have done it. He would have given the kingdom to somebody else. He would have arranged plans differently. But here's the thing. When we deliberately sin, when we do something that we know is foolish, disobedient, unfaithful, when we deliberately sin, we cannot predict the consequences. We cannot control the consequences. And so often, we will put ourselves in the position where we think, I'll do this sin that I know is wrong, but I'll be able to control the consequences. I'll be able to limit the bloodshed. I'll be able to just, it won't be that bad. It's just a little lie. It's just a little cheating. It's just a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and no one will ever know, and no one's going to have to get hurt. But when you deliberately sin against the Lord, you do not get to choose the consequences. You do not get to control the consequences. You do not get to limit the consequences. The consequences will come, and they will come harder than you thought. There's an old saying, and it is well worth keeping in mind when we are facing temptation, and that is that sin will always cost you more than you're willing to pay. It will always take you farther than you wanted to go. It will always keep you longer than you wanted to stay. This is the reality of sin. Sin makes these promises where it maximizes the benefit and minimizes the cost, but it ends up costing you more than you want to pay. It ends up taking you further than you want to go, and it makes you stay longer than you want to stay. It ensnares you. And so we must hate our sin, and we must seek the Lord. So King Jehoram, he gets a letter from Elijah, and he doesn't respond well to it. He just, you know, continues in his sin, and God brings him defeat. Several states that had been subject to Judah end up rebelling, and then the Philistines end up rearing their rebellious heads in their violent attacks, which they had been kept under control for a while. The Edomites and the Philistines were two of the groups that had earlier in the days of the judges had bothered Judah quite a bit. But the Lord had really subjugated those people for a long time, and now they're back. And they're back because Jehoram is absolutely, not only is he unfaithful himself, but he's leading all of Judah and Jerusalem into whoredom. That's what we read in verse 13. He not only walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, being unfaithful himself, but he enticed Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem into whoredom, as the house of Ahab led Israel into whoredom. And he committed fratricide. He killed his six younger brothers. This is just an awful, awful time. So what we learn from this is, of course, the consequences of sin, the consequences of making an alliance with the world or making a compromise with the world. I think about, and I'm not meaning to, you know, call people names or anything to cast aspersions, but there's a really good example from fairly recent history of something very similar to this happening, and that is Jerry Falwell. We started Liberty University and the church, Thomas Road Baptist Church, and he had two sons, Jerry Falwell Jr. and Jonathan Falwell. And Jonathan Falwell is the pastor of Thomas Road Baptist Church, and by all accounts, a very straightforward and honest and Christian man. And Jerry Falwell Jr. wasn't. He's not really a Christian. He's a lawyer and a successful businessman. And so when Jerry Falwell was going to pass away, he thought, well, I'll leave the church to the Christian son, and I'll leave the university, since it's basically just a business, I'll leave it to my non-Christian son, because he'll do a good job running it as a good business. And that didn't work out so well. There was scandal and controversy and sin that plagued Liberty University until they were finally able to drive Jerry Falwell Jr. out, and now they're able to get things a little bit more back on track. So that's just a recent example. And there are others, if you look around. It's just this foolishness. I think fathers maybe are particularly prone to this with our children, but being blind to the sinful failings of our children and giving in too much to them in their demands. But there are other ways we can do that, other ways that we can compromise in how we're raising our children and how we're holding to the faith. You know, sometimes churches have stayed long time in denominations that are just deliberately and repeatedly unfaithful to the Lord. I mean, they're basically the modern day equivalent of Ahab and Jezebel and Jehoram, really. These mainline churches that they don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. They don't believe that Jesus is really the Son of God. They don't believe in the necessity of faith in Christ for salvation. They don't believe in the miracle of the resurrection, the virgin birth, and they're engaged in the fruit of that, right? The fruit of that root, of that rotten root, has come out in the lives of these mainline churches, and there are still more faithful churches who remain a part of those larger denominations that are completely unfaithful, and there are Christians who give their tithes and their offerings to support these churches that are completely unfaithful. So again, that's sort of where we can see it out in the world, unfortunately, in the church, right? But in our own hearts and lives, we need to take the application personally and realize that a compromise with sin is always, you know, making a deal with the devil, and he is a liar and a manipulator, and he does not love you, and he does not have your best interest at heart, and he just wants to enslave you and oppress you. You know, as Jesus said in John 10:10, The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you may have life, and life abundantly. And that's what we can also see through 2 Chronicles 21. When we see good kings like Jehoshaphat, you know, we think, well, you know, maybe there's a way to have a good king. But when we see Jehoram, we're like, I'm so thankful that we have King Jesus, because King Jesus is the one true, eternal, rightful king over God's people. He's the one we bow our knee to. He's the one we swear our allegiance to. He's the one we serve, and he never fails. And he will lead us on according to his perfect wisdom and his perfect faithfulness. So in our own lives, when we are battling against sin and temptation, we don't battle alone. We have a king who fights for us, and we can call upon his name, and we can cry to him. We can say, Lord, this sin is calling out to me, and I know it's wrong. Would you please save me from it? And he will come to our rescue if our hearts are trusting in him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our great and perfect king. Thank you that we have everything we need in Jesus, our Savior. Thank you that he never fails, because he is the righteous one, the holy one. And we're so thankful to be part of his kingdom and to share in his inheritance and to have the life that is found only in Jesus. Help us not to compromise with the world. Help us not to give in and sin in ways that are disastrous and willful, and it hurts. All of us have experienced it. We've all sinned in ways that we knew was wrong going into it, and we've suffered consequences worse than what we hoped we might get, and it's wrong. So keep us from evil and lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Today, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that is 2 Chronicles 21, and tomorrow we're going to be in Psalm 89, so I hope you can join me for that. And again, as always, I do hope you have a blessed day in the Lord.